This is Blessed Trails with Belinda Gale on Equestrian Legacy Radio.
I am so glad our trails have crossed. Oh, the joy you bring to me. And as I look upon each face, such kindness there I see. I wish for you the love of God, a love that never fails. And as we travel life's long path, I wish you blessed trails. Now go their separate ways, and life goes rolling on. I hope our trails will cross again before God takes us home. We share the wondrous love of God, a love that never fails. And as we travel long path, I wish you blessed trails. Yes, as we travel life's long path, I wish you blessed trails. Blessed trails.
Well, good morning, and welcome to our very first Blessed Trails with Belinda Gale show. And this is a gospel show with a definite Western and cowboy flair. And I'm so honored to bring this all this wonderful music to you. We're going to go ahead and kick off the show with a brand new song from our guest this morning, very precious friend of mine, R.W. Hampton. So let's listen to Letting Go.
I was riding alone in the Rockies. Nothing was bothering me. I'd made all the choices in my life, in charge of my own destiny. I thought I had all of the answers, the master of my own soul. I never relied on anyone else. I figured that I had control. Then in a heartbeat it happened. A blizzard hit hard like a train. A storm that came out of nowhere, like a bronc that I couldn't tame. There wasn't a trail I could follow. The path was covered with snow. I couldn't see where I had been, and I couldn't see where I should go. I had no choice in the matter. I just couldn't wander and roam. So I let loose the reins of my pony. Said, "Come on, Jake, take me home." Well, the storm kept on raging, and I couldn't find which way to go. But old Jake, he just kept on going through the ice and the wind and the snow. Seemed like we wandered for hours, lost on some uncharted course. And all I had left to believe in was the faith that I placed in my horse. Well, I knew the storm was a killer. The sharp wind cut like a knife. A shuddering chill shook my body, and I knew it was stealing my life. I pulled up my collar around me, I folded my arms to my chest. I raised up my head and cried out to God, please grant me this one request. Lord, if you see fit to save me, even though I've gone my own way, I promise you, if I make it through, I will trust you till my dying day. Suddenly, Jake walked on faster. He snorted as he caught the scent. And through snow-crusted eyelids, I saw it, the faint yellow glow from a tent. The boys came out and helped me down. My body was bent from the cold, but after some coffee and time by the fire, this story just had to be told. Yes, God heard my prayer when I cried out. His mercy he freely bestowed, and I learned the meaning of trusting from a horse and a trail that I rode. You know, Lord, it's been a tough lesson. It's something that I should have known. When the storms of life rage around me, I just cannot go it alone. I have to let go of the reins, and I have to let you be my guide. I'll follow the trail you've laid out for me till I take my final ride. So when I think I can do it myself, when I think there's no one I need, I'll remember that night in the Rockies, and I'll gladly give him the
great song. I love the message of that. And I tell you what, I could not be more excited and pleased to have as my very first guest on my very first show, not only an incredibly gifted and talented singer, songwriter, and performer, but a very precious friend and a brother in the Lord, the wonderful and phenomenal and amazing R.W. Hampton. Are you there, brother?
Hey, sis, I'm here. Wow, what an intro. Bless your heart. My goodness.
Well, you know I love you. You know that.
And I love you too.
You have gone through some effort. I was talking to your wife, Lisa, just before the show, and we've been talking for 2 days. And I said, Lisa, I think that the enemy has thrown everything but the kitchen sink at us to try to keep R.W. off of this show. And she said that he threw the kitchen sink too.
Yeah, it's really interesting, and we've noticed that. I know you've noticed in your life that, you know, our enemy has not stopped being what he is. That's all he does is steal, kill, and destroy. And so whenever you can almost gauge how good something's going to be by how much stuff he throws at you. You know,
well, and this show must be going to be phenomenal.
So, yes. Well, I know it's going to be. And I do know our opposing forces out there of darkness didn't want this to happen. So we just happened and another thing would happen, and we just kept smiling. And 3 o'clock came, and it's time to go on the air. So here we are.
time to call. Well, it was especially important for me to have you on this very first show because you planted the seed for this, and you probably don't even realize this, but when we were at the Celebration of Life for Curly Musgrave, my late teen partner,
I remember that.
Back in 2009, and you came up to me, you said, "Sis, I never do this," but you just gave me a word from the Lord, and at that moment, it was hard for me to receive it because I was so in grief and all of the other things that were going on in my life. But I tell you what, it took root in my heart and my spirit. And then just about a month or so later, the Lord laid this radio show, having a radio show in my heart. And I truly did the Moses thing because I am so terrified of technical stuff. And I know that putting a radio show together is all this technical stuff. And I was like, "Lord, I think you got the wrong girl." But I tell you, it all, you know, then I just hooked up with Gary Holt here recently, and he just, and bam, 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 it's happening. The Lord just swept all of my things out of the way that I was worried about, and here it is. It's our first show. Very exciting.
Well, I tell you what, I cannot imagine having a better man to help you than Gary. And I'm just so excited to be part of this inaugural show. And,
we're fixing to do one of my favorite songs of yours, "In the Shadow of the Cross." Can you tell us a little bit about how this song came to be?
Yeah, you know, I have come to the point. This song has blessed a lot of people, and I can say that because I honestly held the pen and the Lord wrote it, and I believe that, and I can brag about the song. When people said that's a great song, I'll say it absolutely is, because the Lord wrote it. I held the pen, and that's all I did. And honestly, I've dealt with cancer the first time in 92, and the prognosis was not good. In fact, they said, you know, you need to get your business together. You got a young family, you need to get your business together. And I've had it twice since then, and the guy that gave me the death sentence, he's dead, and I'm still alive. And and I'm not gloating about that, except that, you know, God, you know, you're not going to live a minute longer than you're supposed to, and you're not going to die a minute before you're supposed to in God's plan. And so I had gone through this cancer situation, and then I had gone through, after almost 15 years of marriage, a divorce situation that I did not understand. I didn't want it. I mean, it just not. It honestly, cancer was easy compared to divorce, and then some depression and things like that. And the songs start, "In the Shadow of the Cross, I have finally found my peace." And I went outside one night, and where we live in northeastern New Mexico, and the stars were just, you could just reach up and touch them. And I cried out to God. I just like David, I just said, "Lord, I am here. And if you want to kill me right now, that is fine. If you want me to live, that's fine. But I cannot stand a minute more of this. I'm not asking you to change my situation, but I need peace that surpasses all understanding." And it flowed into me. I will never forget that peace that flooded through me when my life had just turned to a mess. And but that peace. And so that's how the song was born.
Well, I think we should listen to it right now.
All right.
"In the shadow of the cross, I have finally found some peace. As I journey up the rocky road of life, it offers shelter and relief. Through the mountains and the valleys, it marks the way so I'm not lost. as I travel up this steep and narrow trail in the shadow of the cross. In the shadow of the cross, that's where I lay my burdens down. And when the flood of doubts come rolling in, it's my place of higher ground. God, help me to remember that precious blood that stains the tree. God, grant that I may never forget that precious blood was shed for me. In the shadow of the cross, oh, the healing power there. Freedom from the pain that life may bring, there's only comfort and care. For a bright and mighty promise, it was there he paid the that the Master had to give in the shadow of the cross. In the shadow of the cross, that's where I lay my burdens down. And when the flood of doubts come rolling in, it's my place of higher ground. That precious blood that stains the tree. God, grant that I may never forget that precious blood was shed for me. In the shadow of the cross, it was all done for me.
Oh, I never get tired of hearing that song. It's such a good one, R.W. I just
well, thank you.
Oh, my goodness. Well, now people know you, most of the people that I know you as a singer, songwriter, and wonderful performer, and we all love you so much. But you actually have a bunch of hats that you wear. You not only have the singing, but you do the acting. You're in movies. You have your ranch there. You and your beautiful wife are raising, Lisa, are raising horses, and you are breeding them and selling horses. And you have a teenager at home and a little guy at home. So you have a lot of irons in the fire, partner. You want to talk a little bit about your crazy life?
Well, it is crazy, and it's our own craziness, though. our own brand of crazy, yeah. And Lisa has a sign in the kitchen that says, "Remember, you know, from what everyone thinks, we're a nice, normal family." But Lisa and I met years ago, and I was single, raising three kids, a daughter and two boys, and she had a son, and we decided to become the Brady Bunch, and we've got two of our own. We've got a 34-year-old and two grandsons. She and her husband have two grandsons. Gave us two grandsons. We've got a son in the Marine Corps, and he's got a daughter and a son. And got a son that runs a big old ranch between Tucumcari and Albuquerque, and they've got an 18-month-old son, and one in college, and two at home, and you know, we're just living the American dream. We love ranching, and I just cannot imagine not being around horses and cattle. And Lisa loves it as well, and so. you know this because you've been out to where we live, that, you know, when it's time to go to the airport, I either go to Colorado Springs, Albuquerque, or Amarillo, Texas, to go to the airport. And so that's a trade-off for getting to live where we live.
You can't hardly get there from here.
No, exactly. What? Exactly. You can't get there from here. And we got 4-H and FFA and all the church kid stuff. And my boys go to a little 1A school, and so they're in band and track and all the sports. And you mentioned some other things as far as entertainment. I have always tried to leave my options open as far as what I could do. And some of my favorite entertainers did everything, and no one ever told me I couldn't do everything. So I've done some movie work. I think I've done about 16 films where basically I've paid, you know, someone's got to be the bad guy, you know. And I think maybe only twice I've actually lived through a movie. And I think the last one I did, the boys love to rewind it because I just get the snot beat out of me on the street, you know. And let me tell you what, my character deserved it, you know. And but I've been a member of the Screen Actors Guild since 1985, and I do some commercial work and things like that. It just all kind of goes together to keep our standard of living. Someone asked me one time, said, "What would you do if you had $1 million?" I said, "Well, I'd probably just ranch it all away, you know."
Ranch it away. Well,
ranch
you certainly have a wonderful ranch it away, and you have a wonderful diverse life. And this kind of leads us into your next song. But I have been around your family at holidays. You have invited me to be part of your family in wonderful intimate settings.
Our favorite
your
Christmas,
family.
By the way.
Was when,
oh,
when we
wonderful.
Put that train together.
Yes, it was. It damn sure was.
That was insane. But what I wanted to say is this next song is the masters in everything. And having been with your family, I know that in your life, the master truly is in everything in your life. And so I am so eager to hear this song, The Masters in Everything.
Gather around, boys, and I'll sing you a song. The words, they are simple, it shouldn't take long. You ride for cattle o'er the mountains and plains. Take time to ponder just who sends the rain. Well, the rain in the spring brings the summer to bloom. Burning warm in the heavenly blue. The autumn brings winter, the ice and the snow. That's his perfect circle, so on it goes. From the four winds I blow to the whippoorwill call. From the green leaves I spring to the gold in the fall. Top view. Well, the horse you're riding's a gift from him. listen, my friend, if you cause to doubt, then open your eyes and he's all about. The wondrous creation abounding with love by the Father and Son.
Oh, that's lovely, R.W. That is just a wonderful song. And I just, one of the things I love about your life, R.W., is that you have a very diverse life that we've just talked about. But it's very rich. It's very full. And you're not perfect. I hate to tell you this, brother, but you're not perfect.
You're not.
But the thing that's wonderful
I thought
is
I
hate to burst your bubble, but you're not.
But even
the imperfection is wonderful, because I think your life speaks to people that think that the Christian walk is boring or restrictive or you have to be perfect. I think you live out that it can be rich and full and imperfect, and even in that you glorify the Lord. And I just
You know, the two things to me that keep men from God is, you know, I'm a good person. I'm a good person. If that's not good enough, so be it. And some people, you know, they can't come to God like that. And that's arrogance. And then on the other side is, oh, brother, you don't know the bad things I have done. I am an outlaw. And I tell you what, God could not forgive me. And, I feel so much, I identify with King David so many times, because he was a man after God's own heart, but he messed up bad. But
he always went back
with a contrite and broken heart, you know. And, people with those arguments, about either being too good or too bad, they haven't studied David much. And, you know, even the thief on the cross, all he did was believe at that last moment, you know. And so we are what we are. We need to have a little grace for ourselves, because we're just, I'm just kind of learning. I'm learning about this trip through life. And, I tell you what, I woke clean slate this morning, and I messed up several times. But
before breakfast, huh?
yeah. Oh my goodness, yeah.
I hear you. Well, gosh. Well, now y'all are on the road a lot.
Yes,
where,
ma'am.
Where have you been recently, and what's in your near future here?
Oh my goodness, I wish Lisa was here right now. I tell you where I'm sitting. You guys are going to laugh at this. I wished I could tell you I was sitting on the top rail of my corral looking out across our ranch, you know. And I'm actually seated in a rent car. I've got a red Australian Shepherd dog in the back seat. And we're in the middle of a car lot in Albuquerque, New Mexico, trying to close a deal on a vehicle. I've got three friends that are riding from the East Coast to the West Coast, and we are a military family. I've got a son in the Marine Corps, and so I've got these three Marine friends that are riding from the East Coast to the West Coast to bring awareness to PTSD. And so we were down around we were down around Socorro, New Mexico, with our horses and rode with them through the center of New Mexico for a few days. And, of course, I always try to get the most out of my vehicles. And I told Lisa, we're going to drive down here and do this, and we're going to try to trade this pickup off. Well, the pickup quit me before we even got there. And but here's God's goodness. The pickup overheated in the middle of the night on the south part of Albuquerque. I'm gonna be very upfront with you. There's places in Albuquerque where white people aren't liked very well, and it probably comes honestly. But two Spanish Christian men pulled up. It said, "Jesus Cristo vive." Jesus Christ lives. We were in the place where we could have got run over and all killed. One guy pulled up and said, I will hook onto your trailer. The other guy says, I will hook onto your pickup. And they pulled us out of the way. And one guy, we told him what we were doing. He said, well, you don't have a vehicle. I said, no. He said, what are you going to do? I said, I don't know. He said, well, take this vehicle. And so God has looked after us every step of the way. And I don't know if I've answered your question. I'm out here chasing rabbits, but I am sitting in a rent car in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And then, I got to tell you, this is kind of funny. We got a rent car, and we had it parked in front of the motel. I didn't know the motel was a no-dog hotel, so I had the dog out in the car. And there's this guy smoking a cigar out in front of the hotel. Well, all the cigar smoke's going in the car, and I promise not to smoke in the car, okay? Well, I don't smoke anyway, but it smelled like it, you know, smelled like a cheap cigar. So I go to move the car, which I'm not allowed to drive because I didn't rent the car. Lisa did. And a pizza delivery person crashed into me. So,
That must have been the kitchen sink that Lisa was talking about.
Yes, yeah. When we last talked, that was what had happened. But I'm laughing about it right now. And hey, what was your original question?
where have you been recently, and where are you fixing to be?
Okay. Yeah. We're finishing up. We just now released a record onto iTunes called This Cowboy. It's going to be a two album set, This Cowboy, My Country. And it'll be out in the stores on the 28th. And we've got a bunch of tour dates set up, some church dates, tour dates. And honestly, I don't have my schedule ahead of me, but I would encourage folks to go to our site.
Your website. Mm-hmm.
That's what it's called, a website.
Website.
Website. Hey.
You're so blessed to have Lisa.
Yeah, I know. I'm just now getting used to Bookface, you know. And, we're getting ready to go to Red Seagull has his event at the Stockyards in Fort Worth, and we'll be there very soon. And so it is a busy time.
Love that, guy. Yeah, it is. Our lives are kind of busy like that. And I'm looking at the title of your next song that we're going to play. And I think as entertainers, we love to get out on the road. We love to be out and interacting with people that we care about and meeting new friends and just sharing this music that we love. But, man, it's good to be when it's time to start home. It feels so good.
Oh, yeah.
And you kind of think about that and kind of wrap it in with this life journey. It's a grand adventure, and it's a wonderful life that we have, even ups and downs. But, boy, we're all looking to go home, aren't we?
Well, we are. Interesting. We have our earthly homes that we love, and we have our heavenly homes that we're looking forward to, you know.
Yes,
I don't know if you're like I am, sis, but when I'm home too long, I get really itchy.
Yeah, me
and
too.
I'm ready,
2 weeks.
And
two
I'm
weeks,
ready
I'm,
to
I'm
get
toast.
Yeah, and I'm ready to get out there. But when I've been out there, I'm ready to get back home. And so it's a funny deal. Yep.
It kind of is a deal. Well, we're going to go ahead and listen to your song off your I Believe album, Homeward Bound.
sunset across the river. I've got a home that waits for me. I'll fly there someday, away up yonder, where I'll humbly worship at the Master's feet. My life before me is but a heartbeat. I'm just a stranger here below. I've got a mansion, blood bought and paid for, with an address on those glorious streets of gold. I'm homeward bound. I'm homeward bound. And each day's a getting closer to the heaven that I found. And one sweet morning I'll hear that trumpet sound as the angels sing, praise God, he's homeward bound. Before us, we need not part with sad goodbyes. For if they're righteous, we'll know each raptured soul when we gather to our home beyond the skies. But for the moment, I'm here to journey, onward and upward I will strive. Oh, how I yearn for my loved ones, that great homecoming day when we'll reign with Christ the Savior for all time. I'm homeward bound. Getting closer to the heaven that I found. In one sweet morning I'll hear that trumpet sound as the angels sing, praise God, he's homeward bound. As the angels sing, praise God, he's homeward bound. I'm homeward bound.
That's what we're all looking forward to, brother. We're all hopefully going the same place.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, I'm really getting encouraged and strengthened by visiting with you, sis. And, you know, it says we're going to rule and reign with Christ Jesus, you know. But this deal, yeah, sitting on a cloud playing a harp, I don't know whose idea that was, but it ain't God's idea, you know.
No, and I know there's horses in heaven, so I'm thinking we're going to be horseback if we want to be.
Oh, we'll be horseback.
That's my plan.
Yeah.
That's my plan.
You know,
speaking of horseback, you said something just before this last song that I'm really, we kind of glossed over it, but I really would like to hear more about, you said you were riding with some Marines that were riding across the United States. Could you tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, yeah, I've got, it's called The Long Trail Home, and Matt Littrell has become a family friend, and he's probably about 30 years old, and he's just a great guy, and like our son, he's a combat veteran, Iraq, Afghanistan, and when he came home, he started... The old demons started to haunt him, and memories and different things, and regrets and what have you. And he said, you know, I almost picked the pistol up and stuck it to my head. And then I thought, you know, what a terrible thing to do to my fellow brothers, to make them have to get in their dress uniforms and come to another funeral. And so PTSD is talked about a lot, but it's not dealt with. And so he came up, he's just trying to get back home, and home is really a metaphor for trying to find out, you know, what you're supposed to do with your life and where you're supposed to be and what's normal, you know. And these mm-hmm. guys, when they come home, they're not normal, you know. They've seen unspeakable things, but anyhow, Matt thought, I'm going to get on a horse on the East Coast, and I'm going to ride it all the way to the West Coast with two other people and try to bring awareness to PTSD. And I think what he said is every day, I think it's every day we lose about 20 of these kids to suicide, you know, just because... Oh. And there is help available, but the problem is if you're out of the service trying to get a job, or if you're still in the system, you know, it goes on your record, and so they don't. So a lot of them self-medicate and do things like that rather than get the help because they don't want it to go on their record. Mm. So, you know, my oldest son Cooper, Sergeant Cooper Hampton, United States
yes,
Marine Corps.
Yes.
And so he, anyhow, we're doing it for these guys.
Mm. Well, that's wonderful. And I'm glad you could participate in that. And I would just encourage, you know, we pray for the folks that are over there because they're in harm's way on a daily basis. It's, you know, tremendous danger. But I think we forget to pray for the ones that are coming home and trying to find who they are again and adapt back into life. And so I would just encourage everybody that's listening to just add all of our military at home as well as over on the front lines to their prayers.
Well,
that's a travesty to lose those people. It really, really is.
It is. And as my son told me, he said, Dad, there's a whole nother war. It starts between your ears when you get home, and I know for him, it was every night when he went to sleep, he kept trying to save this one kid, and that was trapped, and it always ended the same. And that's when you start drinking or doing drugs, or even worse than that. So. Yeah, you're right. We got to remember these people and not forget them.
Yes, because despite what's going on in the world, despite what's in the news, we have an amazing country, and we should
rally
to so many people's defense and help all the time, and we need to not let our veterans slip by the wayside unnoticed and not be cared for. So,
amen.
Talking about that. Yep. So we're going to – the next song that we're going into, it was written by our good buddy, Jack Hanna.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, and it's a really cool story. I really enjoy this story. But I just – when I think of you and Jack Hanna, I think about this brotherly whatever this is between the two of you that's hilarious. And you – he's bigger than life. He would have been one of the singing cowboy stars had he been born, you know, 20 years earlier or whatever.
He has that
whole persona and that amazing voice and that whole thing and that baritone and that deep voice that he talks in. And you do some of the most hilarious parodies of him. And I'm gonna put you on the spot. Can you whip one off, just a funny one? I mean, I don't know if anybody would get it but us, but it just is so funny to hear you talk like Jack Hanna.
Well, Belinda, this is Jack Hanna on the phone, and I am the number one singer of, actually, the other guys don't need me, of the Sons of the San Joaquin. And you're going to play a song of mine that is just completely unbelievable, and I just hope people will be as blessed as I am.
Oh, well, thank you, Jack. We will now listen to your wonderful song, performed this time by not your wonderful voice, but RW's wonderful voice. And we're going to listen to Watch Him.
Shimmering heat waves rising, rising, silhouetted on the bleak horizon. Watch him. See the horseman riding. Hot sweat coursing through his dusty whiskers, sunburned face pockmarked with blisters. Watch him. Looking for a shade to hide in. Oh, demon desert, wicked like Jezebel. Demon desert, bereft of grace, your trackless waste, lead your prey to hell. Merciless heat like a furnace, blasting desolate waste, no shadows casting. Watch him. Now his horse he's leading. Horses down, stretched out and dying. Horseman kneels to the sky, is crying. Watch him. Wicked like Jezebel, demon desert, bereft of grace, your trackless waste, leading your prey to hell. Of the horseman dying, yet to a God of mercy crying, watch him. Heaven's windows open, gusting winds like angels calling, storm clouds form, sweet rain is falling, watch him. A God of mercy spoken. Refreshed and going, breezes play, fresh rivulets flowing. Watch him. Bright hope is a booming. Nearing home, the horse moves faster. Horseman's voice peals out with laughter. Watch him. The desert now is blooming. Trackless waste, demon desert. I'm here to tell no demon of hell is a match for the God of grace. I'm here to tell no demon of hell is a match for the God of grace. Watch him. God of grace.
Got that air conditioner.
Oh, that's a great story.
Isn't it, though? I mean, there's
nobody
can do it like Big Jack Hanna. But what a message. What a message. I'm here to tell no demon of hell is a match for the God of grace. I mean, and you know, sis, Jack lives it. He's lived it. And there's not a phony bone in his body. And what a great song. It's just, you know what that amounts to is like, how long is that song? 3.5 minutes? I don't know, but that's a movie. You just heard a movie, you know?
It is a little movie. When you hear it, it's really easy to see that little movie going on in your head. And the message of it, I love that. And you and I both experienced in our lives that, and so many people have, you know, just when you think, you know, okay, this is it, I'm toast. It's just somehow, some way, you know, the Lord comes through and sets it all right again. And it just, he does it over and over again. And I think each time it happens, your faith, it's like a muscle you've exercised and it's stronger and it's, you know, you're more assured and confident in it. And to get to where you just know that, you know, that, you know, that it's in God's hands and you don't have to stress about it, but man, it's just a great song. You do a fabulous job on it.
Well, I tell you what, that song, and I know you have songs in your repertoire, that song is such an encouragement to me. I can be pretty down and tired and be on the road and lonesome, and I can play that song, and I can just feel my, you know, just God filling me up by singing those words, you know, and
yes. It's pretty amazing. Well, you know what I'd like to talk about now a little bit are your boys.
Okay.
You've talked a little bit about, you know, you've mentioned, I mean, you have boys from 30 to in their 30s to how old is Mr. Ethan now?
Eight.
Oh my gosh, the time goes by so fast.
I am
in awe of an amazing dad that you are, RW. I've been around and been with your family, and I just see you with these boys. And I mean, your older sons are just a testament to they're good men and how you've raised them. And I just talk a little bit about how relationship with our own children helps set the stage for them for our relationship with our Heavenly Father. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I tell you, I was blessed to have a good dad, a good Christian dad, and he was not perfect, but he was a godly man in every sense of the word, and his faith was tested many times. When I was 14 years old, we loaded up as a family to go down and visit my grandparents for Easter weekend. And had a horrific car wreck, and by that afternoon, four people were dead, and one of them was my sister. And I saw he and my mother live out their faith, and I saw how real it was. I remember gathering around and reading the book of Job, you know. And so I said all that to say this for people. The greatest thing that I can give my kids is to be the best dad. It's not about money, not about toys and things. And as I get older, I realize that my most important job, awards aside, all of that aside, record sales aside, my most important job is being a good dad and a good husband. And I just feel like, I tell you what, you got me fired up, sister. This country's falling apart because men have been feminized and they're not allowed to be the men they're supposed to be. Femininity is great for women, but it don't work with men. And we need men to be men, and you're supposed to be the spiritual leader, the high priest of your own home. And that sounds like you're being some kind of a dictator, but you're not, you know. Mm-hmm. And
go ahead.
No, you go ahead. Don't call me Gorehead anymore.
I was going to say the other half of that that people forget about is that the men are the head of the home, but then they are to love their wives as Christ loved the church, which is sacrificially unto death.
Because the Bible doesn't tell women to love their husbands. It says respect your husbands.
Oh, I didn't even think
really,
about that.
No, really, really.
That's interesting. That's
well, read that. But see, that's what a man wants. A man wants respect from his woman, and a woman needs sacrificial Christ-like love. I mean, it is a perfect plan if you can do it, you know?
Yes, it's the doing it. Oh, my gosh. Well, we're going to go into your next song, and this one kind of talks about fatherhood, does it not? Someone much greater than I?
You know, all this darn music's interfering with our wisdom, but if you want to play another song, I guess it's okay.
We still have time to visit more.
Okay,
I really want to hear the song.
I wrote this for my boys.
Okay, that's where I was kind of going with, is you just,
yeah.
I mean, you're an amazing dad, and just have these wonderful boys, and it just, it's a testament to not only our fatherhood here on earth, but our heavenly Father, what he was aspires for us to be. So we're going to listen to someone.
Let me say one thing before I forget it. I have often heard James Dobson told me one time that children will subconsciously try to figure out who God is by who their father is. And, you know, subconsciously, that's all you have to go by. And so if you're a good dad, then you've probably got a good heavenly father, you know. So it's just important on so many levels, you know.
I agree completely, brother. So let's listen to Someone Much Greater Than I.
I know you look up to me, and it fills a father's heart with pride. Watching you mirror every move I make, it's plain I'm a hero in your eyes. But son, there's something that you should know. I'm not perfect no matter how hard I try, but there's someone you see, he's a hero to me, someone much greater than I, someone much greater than I, and he rules from his home. 'cause I love you so. Son, I want you to know that there's someone much greater than I. Someone much greater than
What a wonderful gift to your boys. They had to love that song.
Well, yeah, it is a gift. Anytime that you can introduce your sons and daughters to God the Father and our Savior Jesus Christ, there's no finer gift.
No. That sets them on a path, a much, much better path for life. For sure.
Yes, ma'am.
And then we know we get to see him again too, which is always a good thing.
Oh, absolutely. No goodbyes. Just see you later.
Yep. Just see you later. Yep. Well, I tell you what, RW, it's been wonderful visiting with you, and I just cannot thank you enough for being my very first guest. It just means a lot
to me.
Well, I'm
gonna tell you, I am just so filled with joy and happiness and energy just talking to you on the phone. And I want to thank you and Gary, and I want to ask everybody out there to support this show, please. This is what we need. We've got to have this in our lives.
Thank you so much, RW. And we're going to, before I let you go, I want to talk just a little bit about the song. We're going to go into a song by Stuart Hamlin that you do an amazing rendition of, one of his signature songs, This Old House. And we're good friends with the Hamlin family. And you actually sang at his wife Susie's 100th birthday.
Yep.
Did you not?
Yep. Yes, ma'am.
You did. It was quite an honor. But he was just sort of part of the, you're part of the show with this old house again. Thank you for being on. You guys find just the right vehicle and get a killer deal on it and get back on track.
Yes.
Absolutely. So just give my list a big hug for me. Thank you for all her work to get to make sure you got on the radio with me today. And just love you, brother. And we'll be staying in touch.
I love you, sis. Give Bob my best. And blessed trails till they cross again.
Thank you. And we're going to listen now to This Old House.
Gonna need this house no longer. I'm getting ready to meet the saints. Well, this old house once knew my children. This old house once knew my wife. This old house was home and comfort as we fought the storms of life. This old house once rang with laughter. This old house heard many shouts. Now she trembles in the darkness when the lightning walks about. Ain't I gonna need this house no longer. Ain't I gonna need this house no more. Ain't got time to fix the shingles. Ain't got time to fix the floor. Ain't got time to oil the hinges, nor to mend the window panes. Ain't I gonna need this house no longer. I'm getting ready to meet the saints. This old house is getting shaky. This old house is getting old. This old house lets in the rain, and this old house lets in the cold. On my knees I'm getting chilly, but I feel no fear or pain, 'cause I see an angel peeking through a broken window pane. Ain't I gonna need this house no longer. Ain't I gonna need this house no more. Ain't got time to fix the shingles. Ain't got time to fix the floor. Ain't got time to oil the hinges, nor to mend the window pane. Ain't I gonna need this house no longer. I'm getting ready to meet the saints. Ain't I gonna need this house no longer. I'm getting ready to meet the saints. This old house is afraid of thunder. This old house is afraid of storms. This This old house just groans and trembles when the night wind flings its arms. This old house is getting feeble. This old house is needing paint. Just like me, it's tuckered out, but I'm a-getting ready to meet the saint. Ain't I gonna need this house no longer? Ain't I gonna need this house no more? Ain't got time to fix a shingle. Ain't got time to fix the floor. Ain't got time to all the hinges, nor to mend the window panes. Ain't I gonna need this house no longer? I'm a-getting ready to meet the saints. My old hound dog lies a-sleeping. He don't know I'm gonna leave. Else he'd wake up by the fireplace and he'd sit there and howl and grieve. But my hunting days are over. Ain't gonna run the coon no more. Gabriel Dunn brought in my chariot when the wind blowed down the door. Ain't I gonna need this house no longer. Ain't I gonna need this house no more. Ain't got time to fix the shingles. Ain't got time to fix the floor. Ain't got time to all the hinges, nor to mend the window panes. Ain't I gonna need this house no longer. I'm a-getting ready to meet the saints. Ain't I gonna need this house no longer. I'm getting ready to meet the saints.
This old house. Well, that is just an iconic Stuart Hamblin song, and RW just does a fabulous job on it, and just such a pleasure to have him on the show today. And I really loved something that RW said that leads right into the scriptures that I chose for today about God's peace that passes all understanding. And that is specifically talked about in Philippians 4:7. And it reads, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And another one that I love to put with that, because I think we forget to be still before the Lord and just allow his peace to wash over us and allow him to talk to us. And that is in Exodus 14:14. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. And so it's just so important to get still before the Lord and to let him flood your heart and your spirit with peace, because that's where he wants us and that's where the scripture leads us. And so thank you so much for joining us for this very first episode of Blessed Trails with Belinda Gale. And we look forward to having you right back here next Sunday morning. And we'll see you then. Until then, blessed trails. Until the day.
the things of earth will dim and lose their value if we that caused my heart to tremble. Remember this will only bring a smile, but I'll carry you.